Hello, I'm Tama Keeves, the author of Inspired and Unstoppable, Wildly Succeeding in Your Life's Work. And also, This Time I Dance, Creating the Work You Love, How One Harvard Lawyer Left It All to Have It All. You can learn more about me, and better yet, you can learn more about you at TamaKeeves.com. I'm here to support the work you're meant to do and the life you came to live, and to champion artists and entrepreneurs and visionaries to wildly succeed in the work and life you love. Again, join us at TamaKeeves.com, and also join me on my Facebook fan page for daily support, a live, amazing tribe of human beings just like you, getting inspired, getting freaked out, and daring to live an inspired and unstoppable life anyway.
Hello, I'm Suzanne Eder, and today I'm excited to introduce you to Tama Keeves. Tama Keeves, an honors graduate of Harvard Law School, left her law practice to write and help others live their calling. She is the best-selling author of This Time I Dance, Creating the Work You Love, and also her latest book, Inspired and Unstoppable, Wildly Succeeding in Your Life's Work. Featured on Oprah Radio, she is a sought-after speaker and career success coach who has helped thousands worldwide to discover, launch, and thrive in the life, calling, and businesses of their dreams. She has presented at TEDx and at Canyon Ranch. Says Tama, "I was put on this earth to champion visionary minds, creative souls, freedom seekers, change agents, and all who dare to live and work from inspiration instead of fear." She grew her own creative empire into an international presence through inspired and unconventional means. Tama has been inspiring audiences across the United States and Canada with her electrifying presence, cutting-edge humor, emotional realness, and the big possibilities she brings into every room. Join her and her Alive Tribe on Twitter, Facebook, and at www.tamakeeves.com. So, Tama, can you tell us a little bit about how you came to do this work?
Well, I know what it's like not to live your life's work. And I know now what it is like to do your life's work, and there is no comparison. And it's so important to me to guide and inspire others to do that. So I know early on, I knew, like many people, what I wanted to do with my life. I knew that I wanted to write when I was younger. I think it was in high school, and I just fell in love with writing and thought, oh, my God, this is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. Only I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, to an Orthodox Jewish family. And if you said that, you know, like, oh, I found my calling, I want to write, it was, you know, it was pretty much like saying, you know, I found my calling, I want to be a drug dealer, you know. you're going to be a hippie in Greenwich Village, you know, you're going to write, you're going to starve, you know. And so that was basically my go for your dreams talk in my family. So, and I think many people have that. We have this, don't do what you love, don't do what excites you, it's frivolous, stay safe, stay practical. And so I went off to law school. I went to Harvard Law School. I graduated with honors from Harvard Law School. And I got a job on partnership track of a major law firm, and I had everything you're supposed to have in terms of success. And I just felt so empty. I felt so meaningless. And I know there are so many people out there who struggle with this, of you're doing the right thing or what you think of is the right thing, but you know there's something more. You know there's something more. And I just felt so empty. And finally, thank God, a friend of mine said to me something amazing. He said, you know, think about it. If you've been this successful doing something you don't love, what could you do with what you love? And that's really, really what opened up my world, because I thought, my God, if, you know, if we could be this successful, if we could accomplish whatever we've accomplished, if we could put a roof over our head and we're not even doing what amazes us, what we're inspired to do, what's inside of us, I wanted to know, who would I be if I was following that love, if I was following that, what I really wanted in my life. And so that's how I started everything.
That's beautiful. But I know there are a lot of people who feel like they don't know what they love. So what do you do if you don't know what you desire?
I meet tons of people as a career coach. I meet a lot of people that will always tell me, oh, I don't know, I don't know. And they roll their eyes all innocently, you know, but it's like, I deeply know that all of us know what we desire. All of us know what we love, but we're afraid to know it. I think that's the difference, is I think we're afraid to listen. And so, you know, I remember I was in therapy at one point saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with my life. I'm unhappy. And the therapist would always say, you know, well, you said you'd like to write. You said you'd like to write. And I'd be like, but what am I going to do with my life? Because I thought writing didn't count, you know? I mean, it sounded so crazy. And I think that's what comes up for a lot of people, is that what we desire, what moves us, what's speaking to us right now, we're afraid to listen to. Mm-hmm. And so the question I always ask people is to pay attention to, what do I love? What do I love? And I know people will say, oh, my God, I ask that question all the time. In every self-help book, I read that question. And it's, but I think what people are really asking themselves is, what do I love that makes money? What do I love that I'm not too old for? What do I love that I don't need another degree for? And I want you to start paying attention to, what gives me energy? What lights me up? Where am I moved? And I want you to listen unconditionally to your desire, because your desire is where everything good is. That's where all your strength is. So that's what I want you to start paying attention to, is, you know, what lights me up? What do I love?
That is such an essential distinction, that point you made about the question that really they're asking is, what do I love that makes money, or what do I love that I already know how to do? And you talk about inspired success on this path. What do you really mean by that? And how does that differ from our usual understanding of success?
I think that in my teaching, there's a distinction between inspired success versus linear success. And linear success is the external formula. It's what everybody's looking for. And I think a lot of self-help books are guilty of this, of, you know, the 8 steps to get there, the 10 easy steps. And we all want that formula or that technique that just tells us, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to get there? And I guess what I want people to know is that it's not about the steps. It's not about taking the right steps. It's about being moved. And the only way that you're really going to be moved is by truly listening to what you're meant to do. There's something inside you, and I'll call it inspired success. There's an inspired power within you that can guide you moment by moment to what you're meant to do. And so, again, I think a lot of us in our culture, we've seen the models of linear success. We've, you know, we're told to listen to the experts, right? And I always tell people, why not listen to the genius inside you instead? But many of us have fallen prey to that. We got the right education. We got the right degree. Then if you get the right degree, you get the right job. If you get the right job, you get the right bonus. If you get the right bonus, you get the right house. But you still don't have the right life, because you're listening to somebody else's idea of your life instead of really listening to what your life wants to be. So one of the things I teach in all my workshops, I inflict this always, is you can't plan an inspired life. You can't plan an inspired life. Our minds, our brains cannot foresee what's meant to happen, the largeness, the beauty, the unparalleled genius of what's inside us. Because again, keep in mind, our dreams are original. We've never been here before. Our path has never been here before. The gifts we're meant to give have never been here before. And so it is an original path. So how this worked for me, my best story of this is how I got my first book, This Time I Dance, published. Because at first, I was writing it without a contract, without an agent, without a publisher. You know, all the self-help books, you know, said you need to have a book proposal and you need to build a platform and you need to do all these things. And I just kept following, tenuously, but I kept following that inner voice. And I kept following that instinct, that desire, that energy that I talk about. And I finally finished writing my book after years, and I thought, okay, how do you get it published? You know, how do you put it in the world? And
Then I had the instinct to self-publish it, which was very frightening. And by the way, a lot of times inspired success will ask you to do something that frightens you, something that frightens your brain, right? Because it's going to ask you to go into territory that maybe you're not familiar with, but it's inspired. And so I didn't know anything about distribution or marketing or whatever, but I follow this voice. I self-published, and here's the good part of the story. Finally, 4 months, just 4 months after I self-published, I got an email out of the blue that said, "Your fairy godmother has arrived. Your fairy godmother has arrived." And, I thought it was spam, you know. you open something up like that, you think it's going to be Russian girls are waiting for you, you know. I opened it up, though, and it's an email from a vice president of marketing and publicity for Random House. And she was in a career transition. She was having a meltdown. And she somehow found my self-published book. And she wrote and said, "This is the best book I've ever found on, you know, finding your calling. And I want to help you get it to a major New York house." And she got it to the publisher I'd always dreamed of. She got it to Tartra Penguin. And it was amazing. I always teach that because for me, that's my example of you can't plan an inspired life. How could you plan that? How could you make that happen? And I know that everyone has an inspired power within them. Everyone has a calling. Everyone has a knowing of where they belong and what's meant to be that way. So I actually just want to read you something very quickly from my new book, Inspired on Unstoppable, because I know a lot of us worry about following an inner voice, or a lot of us are tenuous about that it can sound, you know, not practical. And so here's what it says in Inspired on Unstoppable, wildly succeeding in your life's work. There is nothing wavy gravy about believing in your wildest dreams. Your inspired inner voice is as real as bunions or a bouillon soup. It's not putting your head in the sand to believe in a higher intelligence than mass consciousness. It's putting your head in the game. Love is the strongest power on the planet. You want results? Trust your inspired self. It's a presence and intelligence that dwarfs everything else.
I love that. Wow. So, when you're pursuing your life's work or dream or this path of inspired success, how do you navigate fear that might come up, or basically, how do you just get inspired when you feel anything but?
That is a great question, because I think it's so important for people to know that, because this is a life practice. And I'll say that again. This is a life practice. This is a life practice. And I say that because I think people have an unrealistic expectation that I'm going to be inspired, I'm going to be excited, I'm going to know what it is, and that's it. I'm going to make $1 million by Tuesday, you know, and my book is going to be on the bestseller list, and, you know, all these things are going to line up for me. And what I want people to know is, here's how the path works. You are inspired. You are moved. You know something deep within you. And then you're freaking out. And then it's Tuesday and you're thinking, oh my God, what was I thinking? Or you start comparing yourself to someone else, or you read some god-awful statistic, or you listened to the news, or whatever it is. But I think that is the path. You're going to be inspired and excited, and then you're going to be thrown off. You're going to be inspired and excited, and then you're going to be thrown off. And it's our chance to continually practice choosing what we knew when we were inspired. And so what I will tell you is that who you are when you're inspired, who you are when you believed in your dreams, when you felt the truth, when you felt that magnificence, when you felt the possibilities, that's what's real. That's what's real about you. And everything else is just fear. Everything else is a thought that came in the way. So, again, it's going to be a life practice of choosing. So you asked a great question about, you know, how do we do that? And I think, you know, a lot of people will always ask me, well, how do I get excited again, or how do I believe again? And I think sometimes what's helpful is to realize that that belief and that excitement is still there, that knowing sense is still there, but some thought came in the way, some other thought. You stopped listening to that inspired self or that knowing self or that strong self, and you started listening to another voice. So one of the techniques that I often suggest is, I call it your inspired self-dialogues, and you can try this. It's really a really helpful technique, and it's basically if you're scared or you're feeling thrown off, you might write from that voice of fear. You might write it out. You might, you know, see what it's saying. You know, you never follow through. You don't know what you're doing. You're old. You have cellulite. I mean, if I'm just channeling you, just let me know. And so you write that voice of fear, and then you write the voice of your love or your strength or your inner advocate or that highest inspired self. So for some people have a religious path or a spiritual path, and it might be that voice. Some people might have the voice of a nurturing parent or a nurturing spouse. And sometimes when people really don't know, I don't know what a loving voice would sound like, sometimes what I often suggest is thinking about what would you say to your best friend, to someone you believed in, to someone you wanted the best for, your child. What would you say to them if they had this fear, they had this doubt? What would that voice say? And initially it may feel like you're making it up, but it's an amazing practice to start learning to listen to a different instinct that's inside you, a different guidance that's inside you, a different advocate or wisdom that's inside you, that's always inside you. And so it's just a great practice to try that.
Love that idea. Yes, thank you. And Tamma, what would be the inspired success tip that you most want people to embrace in order to get started or maybe restarted if they've floundered?
I think the most important thing is to focus on your desires, to continually focus on your desires. When I'm working with somebody, you can be focusing on what you really love and what excites you and what moves you, or you can start focusing on the obstacles, why it can't happen, what's in the way, what you did wrong, you know, all of that. And it's focus on those desires, because that's going to give you energy, that's going to give you strength, and it's going to be a doorway into a completely different life. And again, I can't say this enough, we live in a culture that doesn't advocate listening to our desires. We live in a culture that we're taught on some level that our desires are frivolous, or they're impractical, or they're not responsible. And I want you to know that your desires are the most responsible thing you will do on this planet, because there is an essence in you. There is a path in you. There is an inspired power within you. There is a dream or a calling within you that is in no one else. And you have a gift to give us. And it's the most amazing thing on this planet to listen to those desires. If we're not following our dreams, if we're not following our life path, if we're not following what moves us, what are we doing here? If we're denying those dreams, what are we here for? So I want to share with you another passage from Inspired and Unstoppable, Wildly Succeeding in Your Life's Work. And I want to dedicate this to everyone who's listening, and I want to dedicate this to anyone who has a passion or a vision or maybe a movie you want to make or new software or a book you want to write, an invention or a message or a segment of humanity that you want to serve, or maybe a business that you really want to take to the next highest level of your excellence and wealth, or a healing center you want to open, or you know what the dream is. I want you to believe in what you have inside you. And I want you to listen to this message. Each of us screams with gifts and competencies we have yet to name and experience. We have barely caught a glimpse of our full tool set, the control panel of genius and exponential technology within us. We are completely cradled and reinforced in humbling, earth-shattering ways when we support ourselves and listen to our instincts. This is a path of unwavering good, though we may have to grow into our awareness of that good. We are given our dreams and desires for a reason. They are the portals to inspired living. It's our work to choose this life. It's our work to choose to believe we're called by something alive to be exceptionally alive, and to answer that call with the rest of our lives and 10,000 actions of love, courage, and gratitude. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Tama. That is beautiful. Make sure you visit Tama on Facebook, Twitter, and at www.tamakeys.com.